Thank you, Deacon, for proclaiming the gospel. I mentioned it this past week at one of the 8 o'clock masses to the community that so faithfully gathers there for daily mass, a story about St. Francis of Assisi that would seem always speaks to the human condition. But with what is going on in the world, be it war or wondering about synods, or corruption in certain aspects, or the breakdown of family and marriage, etc., it would seem appropriate to share a story that Francis of Assisi used to talk about when it came to our relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, with his divine plan, with what's happening in the world, and the wonderment that we have, either in good times or in bad times, about what is happening, what does this mean, what does this speak of. Once upon a time, there was a fellow who had been grabbed off the street. Understand, Francis of Assisi lived in the 12th century. And so he was talking about some royal couriers that grabbed a peasant off of the street. He didn't know why, and he was put in a high tower in a prison. And there was a little window there, and he managed to pull himself up. And he wanted to get a message to his family what had happened to him. He had something of a little purse on him, really his life savings. It was a gold piece and a silver piece. The story goes that first he dropped the silver coin down in the street. It hit a fellow on the head, and he wondered what it was, and he looked in the street and saw this silver coin, and rejoicing, he picked it up and ran away. Well, the fellow who was the prisoner was stymied by that. He only had something else, and it was a gold coin. He dropped it, the same thing happened. What could he do? So finally, he dropped a stone down, and it hit someone on the street. They yelled the proverbial ouch, and rubbing their head, looked up, and it was then that he saw the fellow that was hanging out of that window in the tower, and he gave a message, and he ran to the family. But Francis of Assisi's whole point is that God so much wants to give us everything and has done everything for us. He wants our attention, particularly through the blessings, and we offer gratitude, thanksgiving. But sometimes we are busy about many things, and that it is then, St. Francis says, that something happens in our life, the proverbial being hit on the head, or something happens that is not particularly pleasant, may even be a crisis, let alone a catastrophe, a disappointment. And it's then that we look up and say, why? And then he has our attention. As simplistic as that sounds, something like that is going on in both the first reading from Isaiah and the gospel reading that our deacon proclaimed. In this sense, one is always to think of the Eucharistic sacrifice. One is always to come to the supreme act of thanksgiving, to Holy Mass, and thank the Lord for what Paul goes on to say in Philippians about in good times and in bad times. I mention this not in word for word, but in my own words. In good times and in bad times, he knows what it is to have an abundance. He knows what it is to be in poverty. He lifts up his hearts and minds to God, and he thanks him for life in itself, and also for the mission that we are given, beginning with our baptismal promises, to always be faithful to God, even whenever I'm not getting my own way, because many of us can be like the people in the wedding feast who come to the banquet, and once more, according to the fathers of the church, this gospel from St. Matthew is talking about the wedding feast, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that we are come to it appropriately attired, which means my soul is supposed to be into a particular attitude, a presence, purity, meaning we've gone to confession, and an attitude of gratitude that I join my thanksgiving to the body of Christ, the church, as a community. We lift up our hearts and our minds, and we thank God. We thank the Father for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, to constantly thank him in good times and in bad times. It isn't that whenever we're not getting our own way or something happens, we can be distracted, that I stop going to Mass, or I'm angry and I shake the proverbial fist at our Lord. As St. Paul says, with a great deal of God's grace building on nature, that I have this attitude to live out the mission to build up the body of Christ, the church, which is what we're supposed to be talking about today, Mission Sunday today, Mission Sunday next week. And that means that I avail myself, particularly to the local parish. We always need more altar servers. We very much need lectors. We very much need Eucharistic ministers, hospitality ministers. We need people to come and be a part of the body of Christ, the church, at St. Andrew's. That means to avail ourselves of things like scripture studies, the Knights of Columbus, also things like Christ Renews His Parish, CHIRP. The local parish is the lens through which I see the rest of the body of Christ, the church. If my relationship to the local parish, when I come to the wedding feast at Mass, is full of gladness and full of thanksgiving, then I go out into the world, no matter what is happening in the world, like war, talk about a boulder being thrown at us, or corruption that goes on, talk about being stoned, so to speak, with things that annoy us and disrupt my joy and my faith and my hope in the church and the future of the church, or disappointments that I and we can have in life. If I'm faithful to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, God is always faithful to us, and he will see us through those times whenever we wonder as we look up why. Well, God always wants our attention. One of the things that he does whenever we stay close to the scripture readings that has always been very moving, at least to me personally, is Isaiah, written 750 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Read it again if you have a chance. He talks about on this mountain. Well, that mountain always symbolizes the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the altar. It symbolizes this particular face, this particular building. The mountain is also the body of Christ, the church, with Christ as its head, and we are the members. We are the mountain. But most especially, he adumbrates or foreshadows the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Isaiah does, 750 years before the birth of Christ. Again, he says, he will destroy death forever. That happened in the Christ event. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The reproach of his people he will remove in the sacrament of reconciliation. From the whole earth, the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, listen to what the Father says to Isaiah, who says it to us. Behold our God to whom we look to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he saved us, for the hand of the Lord will rest on the mountain. That's an adumbration or foreshadowing of transubstantiation. The hand of the Lord will rest on the mountain of the Lord. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Christ comes to us to give us strength for the mission. One of the descriptions of that mission is generosity. Generosity is one of those seven virtues that God gives us. And mission means that we're compelled to go out and give to others what we've received. The fact that you were raised perhaps in particular circumstances, let's say your family, your parents, someone mentored you in your Catholicism, the importance of joining the wedding feast, not coming unprepared or ill-dressed, if you will, meaning we come in sin or lethargy, or a sense of not connecting, an important word, to the mysticism of what happens at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that we once more enter into the passion, death, and resurrection. Our souls enter into the mysticism of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. We are there at his passion, death, and resurrection. I might not realize it here or feel it here, but my soul is very present to it. The soul is filled with generosity. And consequently, because God is always generous, we are to be generous too. And taking care of what the bishop asked of us by way of the collection that he wants for the things of the diocese, things of the universal church, the collections they're made up there. And I thank you for the sacrifices that you make at St. Andrew's. You always step up, and you're faithful in coming with your wedding garment, so to speak, which is an attitude of gratitude in partaking of God's grace and then being sent out to give what you've received. I remind you finally of the importance of the Holy Rosary. The Blessed Mother has been saying for a number of centuries that people have forgotten that the Rosary has been given special efficacy. I remind you of this in this month of October dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary. Wars can be stopped. Miracles take place. The laws of nature can be suspended when one prays the Rosary. When one prays the Rosary by oneself, you receive certain graces. Pray it with someone else, St. Louis de Montfort said in The Secret of the Rosary, those are doubled. Pray it with the third person, it is triple. We gather here to pray the Rosary before our Masses. Great graces are poured down, not only on us, but because she is asking for generosity in praying the Rosary for those who have no faith or have no wedding garment, and they do not bring themselves, let's say, to the wedding feast. We are responsible for each other's salvation. You are generous in your presence here. Thanks be to God, you are instruments of the Lord in gathering up virtue and grace and gratitude for the gift of salvation, particularly through the sacramental system. Continue, please. I plead, as Our Lady appeals and pleads all these centuries, to pray the Rosary. It's a time of the devil, folks. You know that as well as, or better than I, you're out there. Wherever there is destruction, there is the devil. Don't underestimate the fact that on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, what happened in Israel and Palestine took place. Don't underestimate the fact that in the middle of the month of the Holy Rosary, jihad was proclaimed, day of rage, not just in that part of the world, but all the world. Those who resemble or are part of those particular memberships are to come out and act up and call attention, like the stone being dropped down, to their particular causes. Has nothing to do with the wedding banquet and the design of the kingdom of God. What does? According to Our Lady, throughout the past few centuries, the Rosary has been given a special efficacy, a special power. It is a scriptural prayer. We are to pray it with generosity, often and always, daily, so that that generosity can reach out and touch those who are poor in spirit, poor in faith, poor in hope, poor in love. That's the human condition today. Too many leave the faith. No wonder it's the devil's time. But we know in the end we win. What does she say at Fatima? In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. That's the fullness of the wedding feast. So remember what our mission is, to go out and give to others what we've received, to share with our talents, our tithing, our resources, our gifts, our desires especially to do penance, which is what Our Lady, but the gospel always calls for, to do penance and to amend my life, and the church prays, amen.